Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree. To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me, the hours that I have wasted are so many, the hours I spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. Will I stay within the valley? I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for lack of someone to tell them of this Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me?
Thank you so much for that. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter number 7 this morning, please. I like to start with true statements. Of course, I try to fill the whole sermon with true statements. But think about this. Everyone has needs, don't we? How many of you had a need last week? Sometimes we have the same needs, don't we? I'm not talking about food, clothing, shelter, just other needs that come up. Special needs just for us. Last week, my wife and I, we had a need to have wheel bearings put on her car. We wondered, what is wrong with this car? The last 2 or 3 months, it keeps getting louder and louder when you're on the road with it. It sounded like a jet engine last week. And we thought, well, the tires, we read somewhere, maybe the tires are bad. So we had the tires replaced in Springfield. No, nothing changed there. She drove all the way home in her little Toyota Prius jet. We did not know that the wheel bearings, one of them was almost completely shot. And I'm thinking, okay, it was good that we parked the car until the mechanic could see it last week. But we weren't the only ones that had a mechanic need, because when I went to our mechanic to pick up our car, I saw the Tippett's car there as well. And all the cars at the mechanics, they're all kind of like sitting along the side. They just look sad, like they're sick or something. They are. But we all have different needs. And yes, even car needs, Christ meets the needs of everyone. Absolutely. Food, clothing, shelter, financial needs, emotional needs, mental needs, relationship needs. Christ meets the needs of everyone. And it doesn't matter, we'll put this in biblical terms here, Gentile or Jew, rich or poor, leader or follower, he bridges the gap. And he bridges that gap. He steps over the prejudices that people have today and the divisions that exist between men today. But the one essential for securing his help, here it is, because perhaps some have already said, yeah, well, I've had this need for a long time, and the help ain't coming yet. The one essential for getting that help is faith. A person must have faith in Christ and his power. And the truth, that truth is demonstrated in our passage this morning. In fact, we will read that Christ described a man in this passage, described his faith as great faith. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Let's pause and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we need you this morning. God, we need you every morning. But as we have come together here this morning, we need you in our midst. We need you to help this speaker, Lord, to speak your truth clearly in a way that can be understood, in a way that we can leave here knowing how to do these truths. But God, we need your help here as well this morning with those that are listening, that they may hear your truth, that they may allow your spirit to speak to them. I pray that the crowded room of their minds, all of those voices may be hushed, and they can just listen to your spirit speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen. A great faith cares for people. The centurion soldier, he's the one who Christ will describe as having a great faith later on. This soldier, this man who Christ is going to give a great honor to, he cared. Well, where is that in this verse? His servant was sick, so he sent unto the Lord, that his servant was sick and ready to die. The person that he cared for wasn't his family member. Here's where context, again, is so important as we read the Bible. This wasn't a family member of his. It was just someone that worked for him. In today's terms, it might look like an employer and an employee. Okay. On the other hand, there was nothing other than that connection right there. There were no other personal ties between this centurion soldier and this servant, and yet he cared. The word dear, the Greek word, gives us a deeper understanding of what is meant by that word dear. It means esteemed, honored, precious. That's how he referred to his servant. Esteemed, honored, precious. Now, in this society here, a slave, a servant, was nothing. An owner could mistreat his servant if he wanted to. An owner could kill his servant if he wanted to. Those of you that have raised livestock, okay, when I worked at a dairy farm in the mornings, I had to get up to milk. The cows had to get up to be milked. Sometimes they didn't want to, so we encouraged them to get up. We helped them to see that it was in their best interest to get up and go be milked, okay? That's how servants were treated in this day and age. It was just, they were just a tool. They had no rights. They were a tool to get work done. And the word dear is used for this servant. So he cared. He was willing to do all he could to help this person who was helpless. This person that he had no personal connection with at all. We know this must have affected Christ, because in Matthew 22, verse 39, he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what Christ taught. And here this Roman centurion was demonstrating that in how he cared for this tool in his toolbox, so to speak. This human being created in God's image. He had no ties with it, no interest in it. That's what it would have been referred to. And yet, there is a human being created in the image of God, and he cared. All of you are created in the image of God. Everyone outside these walls is created in the image of God. Even those that may hold a position of political prominence that we maybe agree or don't agree with, they were made in the image of God. And while we may have disdain for them, disgust for them, God loves them. I wonder what a difference would be made in our society if Christians loved their neighbor the way God loves them. This would never happen. Put Christians in charge of Facebook. There goes half the post right there. But again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and one toward another, that's believer to believer, and to all men, even as we do toward you. All men, I've referenced those in political positions, but those that are our bosses, those co-workers that irritate us, those co-workers that did something that negatively impacted us, God says, love them. The person that we don't even know, but we see them walking down the street, and we can tell that they're making wrong choices, God says, love them. This is a God-like love that is shown to all men. As a Christian, folks, we have to understand this truth. It's not that we can't love them, because Christ equips us to do this. We choose not to. If we are a Christian, we can do this, even for those that we have no personal connection with. Another element of great faith is that it recognizes unworthiness. Luke chapter 7, verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, the centurion, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now, that verse right there, I have read some people would say, well, this guy was a Roman centurion. He didn't feel he should go talk to this Jewish man because he's such an elevated position. We're going to see later in this passage that that's a wrong interpretation. Once again, context is so important, okay? He went to Jewish elders, leaders, and used them to contact Christ, and we'll find out why here in just a moment. But this soldier was a man who had heard about Jesus, and what he heard made him feel unworthy. Wow. That's an interesting response, because today, let's not say Christian or unchristian, today people hear God is love and God will supply my needs. Okay, God, give them to me. Like a five-year-old in Walmart demanding their parent buy them a toy. And when their parent doesn't buy them a toy, they're mad at God. Here's a centurion felt he was unworthy when he heard about God. He didn't even feel that he was worthy enough to go and ask Jesus for something. How different that is today when we demand that God answer our prayers. In fact, many people demand that God would just supply their needs even when they don't ask for it. And if he doesn't, see, he's not a loving God. Totally different perspective. This soldier was in a place where he could hear about Jesus. He was where he could hear the message of Christ. And what was the message of Christ? The message of Christ was a message of love and hope. Yes. And judgment for sin. He heard about Jesus, and when he did, he didn't close his mind or ignore it. He responded to it. And yet, he sent someone else to plead for help. Well, in our verse, it says that he sent Jews. He was a Roman soldier, trained to take life, and being a centurion, he had probably taken life. Christ's message was a message of love. He was a sinner. He worshiped the many gods of Rome, unworthy, rejected in the eyes of most Jews. So he sent someone else that Jesus might listen to. And he felt unworthy. But let me point this out. He didn't let his sense of unworthiness keep him from coming to Christ. Many people find themselves there today. Oh, you've heard it joked about, oh, if I went into a church, lightning would strike me dead. Referring to their wicked lifestyle, perhaps. He didn't let that keep him from coming to Jesus. A person has to expose themselves to the gospel. My friends, we need the gospel, don't we? I know we're saved, but we still need the gospel. We need to hear about Jesus. A person has to expose themselves to Jesus. We need to hear about Jesus. We're not going to hear about Jesus when we're sitting at home. Folks, I am concerned. COVID has come and gone. And some people are still sitting at home on Sunday. There may be an exception or two, but most are out and about doing all kinds of other things. They're not exposing themselves to Christ's message. I know they can live stream, and I don't want to shoot our live stream ministry here. But God said, come together, gather together. There's an element that's missing in a lot of Christian people's lives. We need to hear about Jesus still. This man, this Roman soldier, availed himself, put himself into the position to hear about Jesus. We have to hear it, and we have to humble ourselves before God. Now, how many of you like to be told that you're wrong? These hands are not going up. We don't like it. Someone tells you you did something wrong, or you did it in the wrong way, immediately. And if they do it all the time, you avoid them, right? Oh no, here comes my boss critiquing me again, right? I'm just going to avoid them. We don't like that. Maybe that's why churches talk less and less about sin and judgment. Because let's be honest, we don't like it. And we ain't going someplace that we don't like to hear what we're hearing. Because we're proud. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We need a dose of unworthiness. We need to hear it. We need to humble. If we want the blessings of God, and that's a big if. God tells us in Romans, in fact, chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," seriously, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In fact, James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Oh, we want grace, don't we? Amazing grace. The only way to get that is to stop being proud. Because God resists the proud. He does give grace, and it is amazing, but he only gives it to the humble. So what should we do? James 4, verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." God promises that he gives to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A third mark of great faith is great faith seeks the power of God in Christ. That's not a typo. I-N, both capitalized. That's the key word there. We're seeking the power of God in Christ. So many people today are seeking the power of God, God's blessing, God's fruitfulness, God whatever in their lives, without including Christ. It comes in Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It is through him, in Christ, that we have access to God. Pull Christ out of the mix, and there's nothing but a big gulf between you and God. Luke chapter 7, verse 4. "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." These elders that the centurion sent to Jesus, they're just telling him about this centurion. He wasn't superficial in his religion. He wasn't someone that today would look like, "I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in heaven." No, he heard about Jesus, he listened, and he chose to believe. There was a hostility between the Jews and the Romans, but he wasn't going to let that stop him from discovering the truth. He put himself out there. It says that he built them a synagogue even. We'll see in verse 9 that he was a man of faith. He loved God. He loved the Jewish nation, even though many despised him as a Roman. His faith. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith." Can we take that down from the screen, please? But without faith. Faith in what? You ever hear the slogan, "You got to have faith"? Keep the faith, brother. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. So let's look at that verse again. "But without faith in Christ, it is impossible to believe him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is what this soldier did. He sought God, and how did he do it? Through Christ. Christ is back in the picture again. He had a great faith, and it's centered in two sources. Luke chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, 'Lord, trouble not thyself.'" Here it is. "For I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." There's the context that helped us interpret the verses earlier. He sees Jesus coming to his house. He says, "Get someone out there quick. Don't let them in here." And it's not because his house was a mess and he wasn't expecting company. He said, "I'm not worthy that Jesus should even come into my house." Verse 7, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But just, Jesus, if you just say in a word, my servant shall be healed." Let's look again at Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to believe him or please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Great faith is believing that Christ is. Is what? Is. He is Lord. He is Master. He is Sovereign. He is Ruler. He is Authority. You notice a common theme with those words? He is Boss. He is Absolute Sovereign. That's why he tells us in Romans to be subject unto the higher powers on earth. Okay, so who are your higher powers? Well, when I was a kid, I had my parents. I had my teachers at school. Some of them, I'm telling you, did not deserve to be higher powers, but they were, okay? Then there was the principal. Then there was the English teacher, Miss Meekin, who was a drill sergeant in another life. They crossed over all the time in the classroom. Then there's bosses that I've had. Law enforcement authority, local authorities, county authorities, state, national authorities, rules, regulations. People have all these different authorities. He is Lord, Master, Absolute Sovereign. That means all power is his. All of it. That's right. Are there any young people in here? No, they're gone. Okay. Well, some. Maya, don't you be taking notes here. Listen to all of it, okay? So, if Jesus is the absolute sovereign and he has all the power, Mom, Pastor said, I don't have to listen to you because you have no power over me. It's all rests in Jesus' hands. Well, that's true. It does. But we need to consider what he tells us in Romans. The powers that be, government, law enforcement, health officials, parents, bosses, the powers that be get their power from God. It says it in Romans. God tells us, I have the absolute power. It's all mine. But I'm going to give some to your parents, by the way. I'm going to give some to your boss. I'm going to give some to the person in the State House, the White House, whatever house it is. I'm going to give them some of my power because it's all mine. All the authority is mine, but I'm going to give some to them. And then he tells us to resist that authority is to resist God. Great faith is believing that Christ is Lord, Master, Ruler of our life. The mayor of Springfield, he has no authority over my life. If he comes here and tells me I can't put tree limbs out in my front yard, whatever. I'll ignore it because he has no authority over me. If Jesus tells us, you need to do this, you need to stop doing this, the only way that we ignore that is when he has no authority over me. We must believe that Christ is. Remember, this is great faith. Great faith believes that Christ is, and it's demonstrated in our submission to Christ. When do most people pray? When they're in trouble, right? Okay? When they're in trouble. When they need help really bad. I was looking this up to see what the survey showed. Like 68% of Christians pray every day. But it didn't say what kind of prayers those are. You know, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. Amen. Okay. But really talking to Jesus, I couldn't find anything that distinguished that. When do most people pray? When they're really, really in trouble. But what does this verse say? Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at it again. Great faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards. Yes. He rewards those that consistently seek him. Not just when we're in trouble, but consistently seek him. Like those of you that have grown children, okay? I have a couple of them. Maybe you can relate to this. I need to clarify that. I can't. I've heard about it, okay? You have a grown child, and your grown child only comes around when they need something. Isn't that irritating? They only come around when they need some money. And because they only come around when they need some money, you're not so inclined to give it to them, are you? Versus the child that comes to visit you every day, phones you on the phone, helps you with things around the house, you are more inclined to give to them. God says that he is a rewarder of those who consistently seek him. So we believe that he will use his power in behalf of those who do seek him. But let's understand the level of this man's faith. He told Jesus this. He told Jesus, just say the word, okay? You didn't even need to come to my house. You could have just said the word. But in verse 8, he gives some context as to just what he was thinking. Look at verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So he was a commander of some level in authority in the military. And because of his position and his power and his authority, he could just say a word and it was done. because of his position, his power, and his authority. He was a sovereign commander over those that were underneath of him. And this verse gives us the level of this man's faith. He believed that the word of Christ was all that was needed. He believed in Christ's position, his power, and his authority. Jesus, all you got to do is speak the word. That's all I have to do because of my position, power, and authority. I believe you have position, power, and authority. Just say the word. There's something else, though, about great faith. It ignites the power of Christ. How did this affect Jesus? This man's great faith, and it had an impact on Jesus. Luke 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Here's the effect that it had on Jesus. Jesus marveled. It says that he marveled. Based on what's recorded in the Bible and how it's recorded in the Bible, Jesus only marveled twice. Based on what we see in God's word, he marveled here, and he also marveled at the unbelief of the people of Nazareth. This man, this soldier, his faith caused Jesus to marvel. He was amazed. He was astonished at this man's level of faith. He's saying, your faith is such, I don't see it among all my Christians. Well, he said, Israel. But that's what it would look like today. He said, I don't see this level of faith in the churches of America today. Believing that is true faith is a rare thing. Not many believe, yet belief in Christ is one of the greatest qualities of human life. A quality ignored, neglected, and in some cases even denied by some people. But this was commended by Christ before others. There are times, like Christ recognized this man, honored him. There are times when recognition is to be given to people. Some people think, oh, no, that's not a mark of humility. We can't recognize anyone. I don't agree with that. In the Old Testament, God taught us, you get what you honor. And so there needs to be recognition. But notice what that recognition was given for. Maybe that can help us structure recognition as we move forward. It was for spiritual things. The man wasn't recognized because he was able to do 50 push-ups as a soldier. He wasn't recognized for anything he did at work. He wasn't recognized for anything he did at home. Jesus didn't even recognize him for anything he did in the community. He was recognized for a spiritual matter, his faith. That's what God recognizes. And then what happened after Jesus marveled? Jesus healed the servant. Now, this again proved his messiahship. This Jesus is the Son of God. You know, Christ does have the power to meet our needs. Do you believe that? Yes. We have needs, though. There is a prerequisite, though, for us getting into that power to meet our needs. It is faith. And it's not just a matter of, I believe that Jesus can answer my prayer. I have to pray earnestly. I remember hearing that at church. So I'm going to really pray earnestly. And I'm really going to do it believing that Jesus can do this, that Jesus will answer my prayer. There is so much more to faith than just believing that Jesus will do this. As we've looked at, it's faith is also demonstrated in how we live our lives, what we do with the sovereignty of Christ in our lives. What is every person's greatest need? Forgiveness of sins. The need for Christ to be Lord of their lives. Our need for Christ to be Lord of our lives. That is our greatest need. Imagine if you're a doctor and one of your patients comes to you and they have cancer and you have the medicine that will cure it. And they come in to see you. They set an appointment. They say, "Doctor, I've got to come see you. I've got a problem." And they come in to see you and you're ready to help them. And all they say is, "You know, I can't find my favorite pencil. I think I left it here the last time I was here. Have you seen my pencil? Can you help me find my pencil?" They're more interested about this when they have this huge need. That's what God is concerned about in our lives, folks. Our greatest need is for Him to be Lord of our lives, and that's the last thing that many times we want to think about. We want to look at the fact that our pencil's broken. Or, I need new wheel bearings in my car. We tend to think more about ourselves than the need to have Christ as the Lord of our lives. If you reject this, if you cannot have the faith to let Christ forgive you, to let Christ be the Lord of your life, then you cannot expect the power of Christ to move in your behalf. Mark 11:22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." There's that wonderful passage. If we just pray believing, we can have it. I have tried that. I have tried that, and you all know what motorcycle I am not driving right now, okay? I've tried it. And that's what we do when we take verses out of context. How did it start? Have faith in God. Faith in God. And that faith starts with Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." It starts with salvation. The world that doesn't know Christ, that blames God anytime there's a bad thing that happens. If God is love, then he wouldn't have let this happen to me. They don't have access to it because they don't have faith in Christ. It all starts with salvation. Have you repented, turned from your sins, turned away, and turned to Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you've prayed a prayer, I'm glad you did. If you've been baptized, I'm glad you've been baptized. But is Christ the Lord of your life? Or do you still make your decisions for your life, sprinkled with a little bit of Jesus where it's comfortable for you? That is where it starts. And after this, we then have to keep him Lord. Paul said every day he had to die to himself, because himself would wake up and his self would say, I'm the boss of this day. We have to keep him Lord, not remove him from his throne. Is he on the throne of your life? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, help us to answer these two questions. Have we submitted in faith to your forgiveness for our sins? Have we made you Lord of our lives? But if there's an area in someone's life where they're the boss, God, help us to see that we don't have access to the power that you give us. The blessings, they're cut off. You are a rewarder. But without faith, it's impossible to be rewarded. God, help us to examine ourselves here today. In Jesus' name, amen.